Thank you, Joan. Hi. Hello, everyone. Remember to look in both directions here. First, about the book. Because it is hardcover, I have trouble carting it with me. I run out frequently. My name, and my as it's printed on the sheet, is also my website, so you can find it there. Easy to get, yeah. A professor of mine in graduate school introduced me to a friend of hers as a smiling poet who writes about the Holocaust, and that I'm going to do justice this evening when Joan told me the theme of the reading was inheritance. So a lot of my book takes up my own, I guess what I would call my own inheritance, and most of it is about my grandmother, who is a refugee from Germany, escaped in August of 1939 from Berlin, and came to first New York and then Philadelphia, where I am from. So I'm going to read four poems tonight. The first one starts in Germany, we go over to the U.S. and then to the present day. I think all you need to know for the first one, Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, this is the night that a lot of Jewish businesses were destroyed, including my great-grandfather's shop. He was a tailor, and his name was Adolf Schoenwetter, so his name is in the poem. The poem is about him sort of seeing what has happened in the wake of the evening, and it's called The Glass Overcoat. Schoenwetter's coats shrug, bored on their hangers, indifferent to the night's red theater. The warp of his coat racks, his closets of ash. Today he learns how clothes betray. In the wreckage, hundreds of buttons spring loose, slink away. Dummies split down their spines, burst open, revealing guts of bolts and gears. His old customers pass, kicking aside findings with a steely toe. His glass overcoat waits, open on the sidewalk, sleeves of debris for his cold arms to slide inside. From him, I learned to mend. Only once have I botched my stitches, sewn a pocket shut, then mistakenly tried to thrust my hands inside for safety, hands chapped or soft, who can remember, open and waiting for the frost. I had to read this next one tonight because it is called Inheritance. I didn't even think about it. Just said, all right, we're reading this one tonight. And it's a Cestina. It is one of only two Cestinas I've ever completed in my life, let alone thought was worth sharing with another human being. So it's a longer poem, and I'll make my way through it as slowly as I can remember to. So this is Inheritance in keeping with this evening. You'll wear his shirts, you say. They bunch tired around your shoulders, hem drooping. Old man's hunch on the back of his son. You'll take your widowed mother to the store. You'll leave her at the synagogue's heavy door. You'll file all his paperwork. You'll don his bathrobe. There he stands, wrapped around your body like a shawl. Inside you, his heart beats curious and sick. As a child, deep in your growing heart, you knew magic before schoolmates' birthdays, not the tired deception, the rabbits and the cards. Your magicians stood at the ark, wore yarmulkes, giant black-clad men enchanting you. Books became graves, a blood-rubbed door saved sons, wires blessed made walls. And your mother, shoulder to stove, showed the other Goyesha mothers a different kind of magic. Stuffed your heart with bread and liver, left open the latch on the porch door for your easy passage through. With her silent math, her untiring calculus of recipes, she knew the needs of men who never tire, who always hungry eat and eat while standing. Once you saw them make love while standing up, your father's arms suspending your mother in air, unknowingly teaching you the ways of man, the muffled clapping of heart against heart. Their days of labor left neither one too tired to lean precipitous against the bathroom door and find each other. From the doorway, you thought this an incredible trick, standing balanced on their toes, speaking no language, never tiring. Your next morning, for the first time, your mother sat at the table in a men's shirt, rubbing that spot above her heart. You learned at 13 the magic making of a man who studied Hebrew, sang its script, became God's man, who shut the Torah inside a heavy wooden door and pledged himself to God with a flitting heart. Today, if you pray, you think of those dark men standing beside your siblings and your beaming mother, your father whose heart sighed and stopped, utterly tired. Death turned your father into a candle, a rock that stands in wind and rain. Death turned your mother into a door that opens only for strangers, a shirt impossible to rend. There was like a Thanksgiving and another Passover and then maybe another Thanksgiving after the book came out that my family was still a little hesitant to talk with me about some of the poems in the book. And that was one. And the thing my father finally said after I sort of mentioned that poem was, you really had to write a sex scene about my parents in your book. And the answer apparently was yes. So that's my legacy. These next two are later in the book and think about sort of my own position in this inheritance and legacy moving forward. And this next poem is a question. The title is a question that I am often asked, though I do not have children. It is, how will you raise your children? And the implication there is, in what religion and in what way, at least in my family. Abraham or Abraham, spring feast or spring fast, in what tongue must you pray, Hebrew or Latin? Do your holy men anoint babies with water or knives? Do you bless the wine for the prophet coming or the prophet gone? Where is the sun when you bless the wine for the prophet coming or the prophet gone? Which fetish did your great-great-grandfathers teach your great-grandfathers, to sign the cross or to pin the yarmulke? Whose fetish will live on in their tiny hands? Who will guide them through the air? Will you lead down the path of your certainty with the left foot of day or the left foot of night? And what of us, the ones who mourn a change, then change, the ones who must? This is a great crowd. You guys are awesome. I just have one more. This is the last poem in the book. The title mentions Deuteronomy. For those of you who have read the Torah, the Old Testament, whichever version, this is like the thou shalt, here's how you shall do XYZ, one of the many parts of that text that outline those sorts of things. So this poem engages with that a bit, and it's called The Jewish Woman Remembers Deuteronomy 6:6-9. We cry for God in worship, later in bed, witness to the power of giving up our power. Outside, the wind crying for God. Outside, in the fit of rain, a God just forming. Our bodies naked before men are God, as sure as the force that pushes men toward and toward us. What they search for is a noise in the earth like God growing crops, still saving room enough for the cemeteries. The lungs expand with our God, God in the scream, also the moan, in the splitting of wood and the spilling of blood, the slaughtered bull and the dismounted horse. God of the summoning, curling finger, the broken limb and its setting right. God in the remembering and the forgetting, the sheepskin paper and the pulp. The words we can recite, they're loosening as we walk to our end. God that keeps our eyes reading. God in the hands that close the book, remove the spectacles and turn off the light. God in our night, which never can stay night. Thanks, everyone.